Thursday, the sky partially sunny, the high 93. I'm James Spann with the Alabama Weather Network on Tide 100.9. It's 74 degrees in Tuscaloosa.
The Gary Harris Show. You see him host Tider Insider TV, Crimson Tide Kickoff, play-by-play for Alabama sports, and sports director for WVUA 23. It's time for the Gary Harris Show on your home for Alabama sports, Tide 100.9, and streaming on the Tide 100.9 app.
All right, good morning, everybody, and welcome into the Gary Harris Show for this Monday, September 15th, 2025. I'm your host, Gary Harris, and we've got my main man, Chase Brumfield, right there on the other side of the glass, manning the controls, taking your phone calls on the Storage Center hotline at 205-342-9904, 205-342-9904. Okay, you'll probably hear my voice right off the bat, so go ahead and just explain that I'm assuming it's allergies with the weather, this hot and dry, brutal stretch that we get every September in Alabama, and a lot of people are dealing with it. I am dealing with it. Been a pretty rough weekend, but feeling a little bit better this morning, but still my voice is not up to par. And but it's, you know, I'm talking, I just, you know, it just doesn't sound as strong as it normally does, but hey, you got to go with it sometimes. So that's what we're going to do this morning, and we're glad to be with you here. And what a weekend of college football it was. In the rearview mirror now, but incredible weekend. A lot of drama, a lot of great games. A&M with a huge win at Notre Dame. Georgia, the comeback win at Tennessee. Ole Miss hangs on against Arkansas. Vanderbilt goes into South Carolina and blows out the Gamecocks. You've got, of course, locally, Alabama taking care of business against Wisconsin. Another splendid effort by the quarterback, Ty Simpson. You've got Auburn at home beating South Alabama, really not by the margin that a lot of people felt that they would, but they did win the game. And so anyway, and now Alabama makes it to its bye week. Same thing with Georgia. They're both on bye. And we know that from a week from Saturday in Athens, it's going to be a showdown between the Tide and the Bulldogs on Saturday night. And that's going to be a fantastic game coming up 12 days from today in Athens, Georgia. On the 27th of September, Alabama and the Georgia Bulldogs are going to get it on, and it's going to be a lot of fun. But in addition to the college football weekend, had a great race at Bristol on Saturday night, and Joe Gibbs Racing continues to dominate the playoffs so far. Christopher Bell gets the win, so he's on to the round of 12. And Joe Gibbs Racing red hot in the playoffs. Also, Scotty Scheffler wins again in the PGA Tour event on Sunday out in California by one stroke. And really interesting tournament, and all the Ryder Cup players were there. Kind of a warm-up for the Ryder Cup, which is quickly approaching. And for Scotty Scheffler, it was a win that felt a little bit different because he was playing one group ahead of Ben Griffin. And Ben Griffin, all he needed to do, I say all he needed to do, but he needed to make a birdie to force a playoff. 18 is a par five. Scotty had parted, and Griffin reached the green in two. So it seemed plausible that we were going to have a playoff between Ben Griffin and Scotty Scheffler, both Ryder Cuppers. But then Griffin, after reaching the green in two, three-putted the 18th green. And missed the playoff. And in fact, his first putt was probably the one that gave him the most trouble because it was a 54-foot putt, but he got it inside 6 feet. But 5 feet, 9 inches is not a gimme. And he pulled that second putt, and thus Scheffler did not even have to go to a playoff to get the victory. It was also noteworthy that Jackson Koivun, the amateur from Auburn, finished tied for fourth at minus 16 as he was in contention to win and join Nick Dunlap from Alabama, who won last year as an amateur, as we remember. But Koivun could not finish it, but still an outstanding finish for him. And for Justin Thomas, he made the cut, but did not play well in this tournament. He finished at plus one, which was tied for 69th. And the putter woes have hit him again. He shot 3 over 75 yesterday. And so does not go into the Ryder Cup with very much momentum. We're going to visit with Casey Smith on golf about that coming up at 10:30. Also, Rodney Orr at 9:30 this morning on Alabama football. And we will also hear from Coach Kalen DeBoer following the game on Saturday as Alabama, I thought, looked really, really good. The only interesting part of that game to me was the fact that as good as Simpson was, he could have been better. Late in the game, Ryan Williams, who had a phenomenal game, dropped a surefire touchdown. And then Lajir Brooks, the outstanding freshman, dropped a pass on third down that would have been a big gainer. But still, Ty Simpson's stats were just absolutely phenomenal as he went 24 of 29 for 382 yards and four touchdowns. And if those last two catches had been made, he would have been 26 of 29 for well over 400 yards and five TDs. Who knows? Maybe even six, as fast as Brooks is. I'm not sure if he catches that ball, he makes a man miss, he might have gone the distance. But great, great day for Ty Simpson, who's playing so well. And Alabama has a lot of momentum now going into its bye week. Also on the weekend, we had the NFL. Bama and the NFL, always a big part of this. Give the Cleveland Browns credit. They did what they said they were going to do. They shut down Derrick Henry. Now, they got beat 41-17, but they accomplished evidently their goal was it was more important to them to stop Derrick Henry than win the game. At least that's what it seems like. And I guess that's why the Cleveland Browns are the Cleveland Browns. They're 0-2, despite the fact that they held Joe Burrow to a little over 100 yards passing, and then they held Derrick Henry to, I think, 23 yards yesterday. They didn't let Lamar Jackson run the ball either. But Lamar Jackson threw four touchdown passes. So I guess if you're the Cleveland Browns and you can have a good statistical defense, winning the game seems almost secondary to them. They had a point to prove. At what cost? You know, shouldn't your game plan be trying to win the game? And I know if you say you slow down Henry, you know, that's a big part of winning the game. But at the same time, if you slow down Henry and you know, Lamar Jackson throws four touchdown passes on you, have you really accomplished your mission? The Eagles do what the Eagles do. They beat the Chiefs in a Super Bowl rematch. Great ball game. Jalen Hurts threw for just a little over 100 yards. And an interesting exchange at the end of the game, Chase, I don't know if you saw it, between Chris Jones, the former Mississippi State defensive lineman, who's a great lineman for the Chiefs, and Jalen Hurts. Philadelphia was lining up to take the final snap and kneel down and win the game. And Chris Jones said, in effect, with a few, you know, they used some colorful language, man, you didn't even get 100 yards. And Jalen Hurts fired back, we won the blanking game. Shut your blank up. I mean, it was really interesting because I think that epitomizes what Jalen Hurts is all about. I've said this before. Winning is supposed to be the ultimate goal for all quarterbacks, all players. But I do think and I don't know. I think now they're saying that Chris Jones might have been talking to Saquon Barkley. But it was still Jalen Hurts that fired back. But I think that's what Jalen Hurts is all about. I mean, I think he's all about just winning the game. I don't care. I think he cares about stats. I don't think he cares about how he's perceived. I just think he, you know, his superpower is that he's the ultimate winner. And that's impressive. As far as the rest of Bama in the NFL, the quarterbacks, was a busy day. Hurts and the Eagles get another win. Also, you had Mac Jones getting his first start for the 49ers, and he was fabulous. I mean, he was absolutely dynamic. Even though the Niners missed a lot of offensive firepower in that game with guys out, including George Kittle, their great tight end. Mac, though, stepped up against the Saints. And, you know, he can still play quarterback in this league. He just got really a bad – break in New England when they had Matt Patricia, defensive coach, being the offensive coordinator. But he went 26-39 for 279, three touchdowns and no picks, filling in for Brock Purdy. Just a brilliant game and was phenomenal. Bryce Young almost brought the Panthers back against the Cardinals. Unfortunately, they got off to a terrible start in that game and couldn't overcome it. They had a chance late, but as far as the statistical game for Bryce Young, he went 33 of 55 for 328 yards and three touchdowns, one pick. Career highs in passing yards and completions. Tied his career high with touchdowns. They lose 27-22. And heartbreak for Tua and the Dolphins as well, as they had a chance to win their game and against the Patriots, and he put up really good stats as well, but they came up short, and the Dolphins are 0-2. And there's a lot of questions right now about this Miami team and where they're headed. So, but a busy day for Bama and the NFL, and a great weekend. All right, it's 9:16 this hour of the Gary Harris Show, being brought to you by Alabama Credit Union, your trusted partner for financial success. Embrace financial well-being with Alabama Credit Union. Find out more at alabamacu.com. That's alabamacu.com, Alabama Credit Union. Loans for real life. Some rules and restrictions do apply. See if you're eligible for membership. Then join today and feel good about your money. And put a little extra change in your pocket. All right, we'll be back with more of the Gary Harris Show, wide open for phone calls before we get to Rodney Orr at 9:30. 205-342-9904. 205-342-9904 is that number. On the other side, too, I'll also talk about Bama basketball. Big recruiting weekend for the Crimson Tide, built around the football game. I'll have that for you next on the Gary Harris Show.
What's trending on the Tuscaloosa Thread.
Good Monday morning. West Alabama Democrat Congresswoman Terry Sewell is accepting applications for appointments to the U.S. military academies. The deadline to apply is November 21st. An information session is set for September 25th at Mountain Brook City Hall between 6 and 8 p.m. The session is open to all high school seniors in the 7th Congressional District. Click TuscaloosaThread.com for more West Alabama news, sports, and weather throughout the day. It's free. Don Hartley, Town Square Media, Tuscaloosa.
As much as Innisfree has evolved, it will always be that place to escape and have a good time. Whether it's for a game day weekend, to reminisce on college days, or to create new memories, if you're looking for a good time, there's only one thing to do. Head to the Free at 1925 University Boulevard. And don't forget about the Lucky Lunch Meet and Three special Monday through.
I think.
Discover is accepted at 99% of places that take credit cards nationwide. Based on the February 2025 Nielsen report.
Since 2011, Billy's Sports Grill, located on Main Avenue in historic downtown Northport, has been serving their legendary signature chicken sandwich, award-winning wings, and handcrafted cocktails. Billy's is also the spot to watch all your favorite sporting events with big-screen, high-definition televisions, both dining rooms, at the bar, and outside on the...
For you, contact Courtney White at 205-242-5127, North River Timber, CO at gmail.com. North River Timber Company.
Tide 100.9, Tuscaloosa weather.
The long dry spell continues today, mostly sunny with a high at 91. Clear tonight, the low 67. Tomorrow and Wednesday, sunny both days, highs between 90 and 93. Thursday, the sky partially sunny, the high 93. I'm James Spann with the Alabama Weather Network on Tide 100.9. It's 75 degrees in Tuscaloosa.
You see him on WVUA 23 covering sports. And on Tider Insider TV on Tuesday nights. Don't miss a minute of the Gary Harris Show. Weekdays from 9 to 11 on Tide 100.9.
All right, 9:21. Welcome back into the Gary Harris Show. We're going to get to news on that big basketball recruiting weekend, but some great prospects were in over the weekend. We'll run them down for you, but right now we're going to take phone calls because they are lined up. We're going to lead off with Roland in Gunnersville, then we'll get to Tommy in Romulus, and then we'll get to Corey in Trustful. Good morning, Roland. How are you?
I'm good. I hope you're doing well today, Gary.
Thank you.
what I want to kind of bring up is, you know, the last couple of years we've been with running ball, and I don't think we can win, you know, a championship without running, you know, some type of running game. You can't average just 2.9 yards on a, you know, a carry. And, you know, last year, all I heard was, or last 2 years actually, was our running backs weren't that good and all that. But Justin Haynes goes to Michigan, and he's averaging like 7-something yards a carry. He's got like 41 carries and almost 400 yards. And, you know, I said all along that we had great running backs. It's just I don't know if we're not teaching the physical part of the game enough, or if, you know, the offensive lineman's not that good. You know, I don't know, but I just know it's not the running backs. We've got running backs right now, probably 3 or 4 of them have started a lot of teams. And so I'm just real concerned about the running game.
Yeah, you need to run the football better. I think they understand that. That was probably the only downside of the offensive output on Saturday against Wisconsin was, of course, Wisconsin got a really good rush defense, too. I think they deserve credit. They've been holding people down. But, yeah, I think in the SEC you got to be able to run the football, and I think they know that. I think that Coach DeBoer kind of addressed that after the game. We'll hear his comments later, and that, you know, you need to be able to run the football regardless of how good you are in the passing game. Having said that, as you said, they've got some talented running backs. They're going to be getting Jam Miller back as well. That's really going to help. So I agree with you, but I am still optimistic that they're going to have a pretty good running attack.
Okay. I
just
wanted to let you about Justin Haynes and everything.
Yeah, well, we Roland, we know that he was, you know, he was a 5-star running back out of high school for a reason. And Alabama, you know, Nick Saban made him a priority. They signed him. He is very talented. He's a very, very high caliber back. And, you know, it didn't work out for him at Alabama. So he transferred to Michigan, and you're right, he's putting up numbers, and he's showing that he's a top flight running back. But I think Alabama's got good backs here, as you alluded to. And I don't think it's an issue with the running backs. I think they've got to make, I'm with you. I think they got to make more of a commitment to run the football, and I think they will.
Okay, Gary, I just wanted to let you. I won't keep you, let you get the other calls, but you have a good day, okay?
Thank you, Roland. Good to hear from you, as always. Great call. All right, let's get to Tommy and Romulus. Hey, Tommy.
Hey, Gary. I thought the team had great intensity. Yes, I am concerned about the running game, but I think that will get better as the season goes on. We're going to get back injury players, and we can stay injury-free. This offense, the defense is going to improve. I saw a lot of young talent against Saturday got to play. I think the future looked bright for Alabama and Caleb DeBoer. I mean, I know there were some drop passes Saturday, but that's football. So I'm real happy how the team has progressed since the Florida State game. I mean, I think they are focused, and time will tell. So, it was a great win, and that's a big deal, too. So, I can't ask no more of them.
So. Yeah, Tommy, I'm with you. Really solid performance on Saturday since the Florida State game, which, you know, the season could not have started out worse. But all you can do is go on, and their two games since then, they have been strong and have put themselves now in a position, haven't played a single SEC game yet, to go into Georgia a week from Saturday and have an opportunity to really put this season on the right track. So I think everybody's excited now with where they're at and the potential that they have. So I'm with you. I thought Saturday was a really solid performance.
Saturday, they honored the 75 football team. And they started their season with a terrible loss at Lincoln Field against Missouri, and look what they did. So, don't ever give up on this team, on this program. That's all I'm saying. Stay faithful and roll tide.
Thank you, Tommy. Yeah, outstanding call. All right, let's hit one more call in this segment, and that's going to be Corey and Trustful. Hey, Corey.
Good morning, Gary.
Good morning.
Yeah, I think Alabama played really well. Got to get a running game going if we're going to beat Uga, beat Georgia, because can't be one-dimensional going to Georgia and expect to win, because you know they'll try to take away the passing game. But I thought Alabama played really well. I thought they came out physical and handled their business, and I was really pleased.
Yeah, again, I'm what you said and what Tommy said is true. I mean, Alabama handled its business. I mean, they defensively, we hadn't even mentioned the defense. They only gave up one touchdown, and that was on a long pass. Bray Hubbard had a couple of interceptions. You know, they shut the run game down. They held them just a little over 200 yards of offense. The one touchdown, of course, in addition to the pass that they gave up over the top, was on a kickoff return. So, It was a solid performance against a Big Ten team. So other than, you know, if you want to quibble about the fact that they didn't run the ball maybe as well as Alabama fans would like, but that's probably the only negative that you could find. Otherwise, it was a dominant performance. And, you know, you go into the bye week with momentum and you get ready to go to Georgia and you know, find out exactly where you're at.
Yeah, I agree.
You got to
get healthy for this game because it's all hands on deck. We go to Athens. But I also had a good weekend because Hewitt beat Hoover in a classic game.
Yeah, sure did.
You know, something that is kind of misleading that that's not talked about is our third down defense. Yes, it's 45%, but it's misleading because it's average 6 out of 14. But when you're averaging only 6 third downs out of 14 attempts, that's very misleading. Wouldn't you agree?
Yeah, to some degree, I would. So,
yeah, I mean, yes, you want that to come down a lot, but that's misleading. If you're only giving up six third downs in a game, that's not bad at all.
Right.
Out of 14 attempts. I mean, it's not like you're giving up 10 plus third downs or anything. If you tell me you only give up 6 third downs, I'll take that. I mean, that's how many of those third downs are going to lead to scoring drive? Would you agree?
Yeah, I think you're on to something. So you've done your homework as always, Corey. I think the defense is doing a good job. I do. I think they're, since the Florida State game, they played really, really well.
Yeah, just take it one game at a time, because I think we play 7 ranked opponents left.
Yeah, the schedule is going to be tough, and I'm going to talk more about the schedule for all these teams in the SEC. That, you know, it's week to week, man. It's a week to week league. You win one week, you got to put it behind you and get ready for the next one. If you lose, you got to try to come back and win the next game. It's not going to be easy for anybody. This league is as balanced top to bottom as I've ever seen it, and you got to be ready to go every week.
Yeah, I'm just hoping Alabama can still have some margin for error if they do drop any other game.
Well, I hope so too.
Not saying I want them to. I'm just saying, in the event if it does happen, Alabama can still have a margin of error, because I don't want that Florida State game to bite us like I hope it. I just don't want it to.
All right, Corey. Good stuff, buddy. Thank you.
Good to talk to you, Gary. Roll Tide.
Good to talk to you. 9:30. We'll be right with Rodney Orr from TiderInsider.com next here on the Gary.
Ask your doctor about Tremfya today. Call 1-800-526-7736 to learn more, or visit TremfyaRadio.com.
Your home for Alabama Crimson Tide football. Tide 100.9 and streaming on the Tide 100.9 app.
Show. It's time for Rodney Orr from TiderInsider.com, TiderInsider TV, for his weekly Alabama football recap. And we got a lot to cover this morning with the Crimson Tide. Good morning, Rodney.
Good morning, Gary. How are you?
Doing well. No press conference today. Bye week. Kalen DeBoer is speaking to the Monday Morning Quarterback Club over in Birmingham this morning. But this past Saturday, 38-14 over a team from the Big Ten in Wisconsin. The game was really never close, and you could argue that the final score is not indicative of how Alabama dominated the game. But particularly from an offensive standpoint, Ty Simpson just continues to be amazing. 41 of 46 for 618 yards, 7 touchdowns his last 2 games. Could have been better, especially Saturday. Ryan Williams, who was fantastic, dropped a touchdown, a surefire touchdown on a post. And then Lazier Brooks dropped a ball on third down that would have been a big game. But what did you see from Ty Simpson that's allowing him to have this much success?
Yeah, well, I think Ty, obviously, he's been really determined. I mean, I think after the start against Florida State, I mean, he really honed in. I mean, he had been honed in. We heard a lot of really great things about him from the August camp. And I think those are things that we're starting to now see come to fruition in these games. I mean, he's in command. He's in a rhythm. I mean, he's delivering the ball on time and with extreme accuracy and precision. It's obvious. Like I said, he's in command. He knows where his receivers are. Gary, I think he threw the ball, 29 times in this game. I only remember him holding the ball too long one time. I mean, he got the ball out quickly, got it out to the right guy, got it out accurately. And right now, this team is riding on the arm of Ty Simpson.
Yeah, they are. And I guess if there's a one part of the offense that is concerning some Alabama fans, already got a call about it this morning, and that is the running game. And, getting it going with a little more effectiveness as you get into the SEC. Now, granted, winning's winning, and, you know, if Ty plays like this, it's going to be hard for Alabama, for anybody to handle Alabama. But are you concerned about the running game after 3 games?
I think it's obviously a point of emphasis that you have to make a lot of improvement. I mean, obviously you've missed some guys. You've had some shuffling on the offensive line. Jaden Roberts has been out. Geno Vandermark has come in, obviously, and, he's worked in different spots, right and left guard. And so you've also had your running back out, your top running back, Jam Miller. So there's a lot of kind of parts there that I think they're still trying to piece together in the run game. And hopefully we get Jam back this week, and, he kind of solves some of that. I think Kevin Raleigh's done a really, really good job. I think some of the other backs have also, shown some things. But Raleigh made a fantastic catch, by the way, incredible catch there in the game. So his versatility's been really important. But I think they're still trying to put all these pieces together. Yes, I do think it's a bit of a concern right now, but this is a process. We've seen Alabama take step one against ULM. They took another step in the right direction against Wisconsin. So it looks to me like, a lot of things that have been kind of concerns, they're making improvement in those areas. And it's not just the running game. I mean, obviously they have other areas on the defensive side that I think they still have to shore up and get better.
What have you seen from the offensive line?
Well, first of all, let me say this. I'm certainly no offensive line guru. I remember Gene Stallings saying one time, our friend Steve Townsend shared this with me, that, a great running back can make an average offensive line look really good. And average running backs can make a good offensive line look average. And I'm not really saying that the running backs are average, but I do think that right now they do lack a big-time running back, or even maybe a couple of big-time running backs that could certainly make this offensive line look a little better. But I think that the offensive line is – there's a ton of potential there. I think Parker Brelsford's as good as any center in the country. You're getting Jaden Roberts back. Vandermark's done a nice job. Dewberry has a lot of experience there at the left guard spot. Proctor just needs to play on the level that he can play at a consistent level. They've got to get that out of him. And then I think the right tackle spot, I thought that Wilkin Formby in the third quarter of this last game probably played as well as he's played. Just in the series that I watched him, and I think a lot of that is due to the competition that Michael Carroll's bringing at that right tackle spot. So I think it's got a chance to be a really good offensive line.
You mentioned the running backs, and Roland from Gunnersville already called in this morning about Justice Haynes. I do think a lot of Alabama fans are looking at the numbers that he's putting up at Michigan and wondering why it didn't work out here at Alabama. But I think Alabama's got a better football team than Michigan, so I wouldn't swap teams. But your thoughts on Justice Haynes and maybe what he could have added to this offense if he were still here?
Well, I think, he's getting a lot of carries. There are more carries up there. And I do think, too, is my comments that I just made on the running backs, I should also say that, you have to get those carries. And maybe they don't feel like right now they have a guy that they can give those carries to, devote those carries to. But Haynes has done a fantastic job. I always thought he's a really good running back. And, for whatever reasons, he's doing better there than what he did here. But, again, I think that when Jam gets back, hopefully it's this week coming up, and then be ready for Georgia, because it's going to be a really important game. I think you've got to be able to generate some run game against Georgia to be effective.
The return of Ryan Williams after a subpar game at Florida State, and he got knocked out in that game with a concussion. He missed the Louisiana Monroe game. But then he comes back with five catches for 165 yards and two touchdowns. Did drop a touchdown, but we saw again, and I think it's easy sometimes when a guy, hasn't played in a couple of games or played well, you it's easy to forget just how good Ryan Williams is. And then you see him in action, you're like, it's jaw-dropping when he has the ball in his hands. And, getting him back and getting him up to speed with the rest of these receivers, with the way Ty's playing, there's a lot of weapons on this Alabama offense. I mean, special players at that wide receiver position, he's certainly one of them.
Yeah. No, he got back in the groove, I think, obviously. Made some big catches, big plays. Five catches, I think it was, for 165 yards, something like that. A couple of touchdowns, really big plays. And I think, getting Ryan back in that groove really is important right now as you start to move forward, because it is. You've got the weapons with, obviously, Isaiah Horton had a big touchdown catch and has made some big plays. Jeremy Bernard continues to have a great season. And then you've got the emergence of Lotzer Brooks. You've got Rico Scott. That's a really strong core there. Cuevas has done a nice job at tight end. He can catch the ball. And I think Caleb Edwards had another outstanding catch there in this last game. So they've got some guys that can make plays. They've got a ton of weapons on the outside. And, with a quarterback that's really hot, like Ty Simpson is, delivering the ball accurately with a lot of timing, this offense can be really explosive. And I think if you watch the Georgia-Tennessee game, and I've always thought this, Kirby has had a tough time defending teams that have weapons that can throw the ball down the field and can challenge you in the secondary. If you can protect against Georgia, I think Ty Simpson's going to have a lot of opportunities to make some explosive plays. Tennessee made those. At the same time, I think that Alabama, as we talked about, the one thing that they need to do, you don't want to be one-dimensional. Eventually that can catch up with you. So I do think that they've got to get this running game going somehow, some way against Georgia.
Defensively, you hold Wisconsin to 209 total yards and 7 points. Remember, one of the touchdowns came on that long kickoff return. Four sacks after not recording a sack in the first two games. Bray Hubbard had two interceptions. Wisconsin, I think, had 50, maybe 55 or 56 yards at the half, and they got most of their yards really in the fourth quarter, a lot of it coming on that long touchdown pass. But the defense really stepped up in this game, and not just statistically, but like we said, they harassed the quarterback, and O'Neal's a guy that can get away from you. So to get those four sacks, that had to be the highlight of the day defensively. Would you agree?
I think it's certainly, getting those guys, like you said, I think they're starting to find themselves a little bit defensively in some ways, and that's one of the ways there. They got some pressure up front. LT Overton had a sack. Rousseau had a sack. Johannes Pierre looks like a guy that I think can be a really strong pass rusher with his speed. And I think, too, obviously, London Simmons, the true freshman, had a sack. And that was he's a guy that's taken a step. They need that on the defensive line. And Keenan coming back will be extremely important, you know, with James Smith and Overton. And now the development of London Simmons, the true freshman, and some of the other guys that they're working in. Renaud had a few plays, Jordan Renaud outside. So, you know, I think they're finding themselves. I think it's consistency in the execution that they have. You know, they still had some plays where they were out of position. You know, we were, like I said, last week we talked about this on the backside, that eventually someone was going to exploit them in that throwback pass that went for a big play. I mean, it's discipline. You know, I think that's one thing that they still have to consistently, you know, play with, that kind of discipline to be in their position, right position. So, the defense is taking a step, but I still think, you know, Gary, that it's an area where, if you ask me, that's the side of the ball that I'm probably most concerned with.
All right, Rodney, you look at where Alabama's at right now. They certainly righted the ship after the start of the season in Tallahassee against Florida State. You get to the bye week, and then you hit it, man. You come back with five straight SEC games in 5 weeks before you get to your next bye. At Georgia, at home versus Vanderbilt, at Missouri, at home versus Tennessee, and out South Carolina. So those five games are going to be crucial. And then, of course, you're going to wrap it up with LSU, Oklahoma, Eastern Illinois, and Auburn following the break. But it all starts with Georgia. This is a Georgia team that, you know, knows how to win, no doubt about that. Have kind of taken over since, you know, Nick Saban retired as the preeminent program in the league. And Tennessee did enough to beat them on Saturday, but didn't. And that's the kind of the trick with Georgia, that, you know, you got to play for 60, and in some cases more than 60. And that game in Athens, we know Alabama's had Georgia's number, but none of that's going to matter, you know, 12 days from now. What's going to be the key for Alabama to go in there and have an opportunity to win that game?
Yeah, I mean, I think there's probably several keys. You know, first of all, I think you're obviously going into a hostile environment, and it's given this DeBoer and his team's trouble on the road for the most part. I mean, I know they had the outstanding performance at LSU last year. They set the tone early. Milroe had another big game with his running, but you've got to find a way to set the tone, I think. And regardless of what happens, even if Georgia starts fast, you've got to maintain your composure, which they haven't done at times. They've lost composure. And when they lose composure, then they fall behind in a way that makes it really difficult to come back. So, and they did that at Oklahoma last year. So I think they've got to keep their composure in a hostile environment and be ready for that when they go on the road. But I think you mentioned Georgia's tough to beat. I mean, it's mental toughness, and I think that's the thing that they have that probably is superior to any program right now I've seen, is they play with a ton of mental toughness, and that's what it took in this last game. That's what it took to go to Knoxville and to come, you know, be trailing 38-30 with the clock ticking down, and they hit the fourth and sixth play, and they go for two and get it, and then they win in overtime. So I think it's just the mental toughness that and I think Alabama's developing that. I really do. I see that gradually building. So hopefully, you know, they continue to do that, and, you know, they can match that in Athens.
This game, regardless of who it, you know, SEC opener, it wouldn't matter if it's Georgia or anybody, because it's heightened because it's Georgia. But for Alabama, it's a crucial game. I mean, the outcome of this game is going to really dictate a lot about this season. Let's be honest, Rodney. If you win it, you're 3-1. You're 1-0 in the SEC, and you're set up for success. You know, you still have to go earn it. But if you lose this game, 2-2, 0-1 in the league after four games, you're going to be running uphill. Now, that's not to say that you still couldn't get in the playoff, but this is an important game outside of the fact that it's Georgia. It's just where it falls on the schedule, the fact that it's the SEC opener, and where you're going to be after this game based on the outcome. This is a huge football game.
Well, the FSU game put them in this position, really. You know, had they won that game, you know, you're 3-0, and if you go to Georgia and you don't win, I mean, you're still in okay shape. you know, heading down the stretch. But now it's almost do or die. And again, I realize that you can get in with two losses, and who knows, this year the way things are, perhaps you can get in with three losses.
Right.
We'll just have to see. So it's not really do or die, but it's certainly, as you look towards the stretch run, it would put your back to the wall if you go over there and you lose, because you mentioned the daunting schedule that they have ahead. The road ahead is really tough. You know, they're going to have a lot of challenges, but this is the first one, and they have to stay focused on this one. And, you know, hopefully they can find a way to come out with a win. And then all of a sudden you come back and you've got another big challenge. You've got Vanderbilt, you know, awaiting. So it's going to be a week to week deal. And, like I said, just a minute ago, that mental toughness, that's what it's going to require. I mean, I think that's what it's going to take for Alabama to get through this gauntlet and have a chance to go into the postseason.
Finally, you mentioned this Alabama team developing some toughness, in your opinion. And, you know, you look at Kalen DeBoer, and he seems to have had a – and hey, listen, I still think he's an outstanding football coach and a great guy. But since that Florida State game, his demeanor, this is my opinion, I want to get you to react to my opinion, his demeanor seems different to me. And not that he hasn't always been serious about winning games, but there just seems to be his exterior, it seems a little tougher to me. Oh, your thoughts on that?
Yeah, I mean, I've kind of noticed that as well, you know, and I even mentioned that on TiderInsider.com here over the last day or so that, you know, I've kind of detected that. And you know, I think he's really positive. You know, he's always been a really positive guy. Some people will say sugarcoating some things at times. But, I like the way he called it out Saturday after the game. And this is a little thing. A lot of people don't really maybe look at this. But it's something that Nick Saban, this is why Nick Saban could be up 56-0 with 7 seconds left in the game, somebody not doing something right, and he calls timeout. And he tells his team, you know, you're losing your composure. You're losing your poise, whatever it is. And I saw DeBoer in his post comments said, talked about not finishing. And they didn't finish. You dropped a pass for a touchdown. You dropped another pass. You gave up a long play at the end of the game. You know, you had a run called back because of a penalty. I mean, these are little things that all of a sudden you're kind of sliding a little bit. You're losing a little bit of poise. And that I think that's what, you know, certainly made Saban's team so good. And I think that DeBoer pointing that out is something that, you know, who knows? Maybe he wouldn't have pointed that out in the past. But I think he made it a point that, you know, hey, we've got to finish better. We've got to keep our foot on the gas. We've got to stay focused. And I think that was an encouraging sign.
Wrapping up with Rodney Orr, basketball. Boy, what a big week last week. They get two commitments from outstanding prospects, Terrace Bowie and Chris Washington Jr., a couple of highly touted wing players. And then on the visits this past weekend, they had Caleb Holt, former Buckhorn High School player who's down now at one of those prep schools in South Florida. And they had Dylan Mingo and Jax Richardson in as well, Rodney. So this men's basketball recruiting with Nate Oates and Preston Murphy is red hot, and Holt's at Prolific Prep in Fort Lauderdale is where he's at. So two commits last week, and hoping to get one or more coming out of this visit weekend.
Yeah, you know, I think Drew DeArmond, you know, he does a lot of the recruiting, mm-hmm. basketball recruiting for us on Tider Insider. And Drew probably knows Alabama basketball recruiting as well as anyone. And they had three national top 20 players in this weekend. And I agree with what he said. It might have been the greatest group of talent to visit at one time ever, you know, on the campus. You know, of course, they've had some others. But, yeah, I mean, we'll see what happens. I mean, obviously, you know, Caleb Holt's a guy that I know Alabama fans really would love to – get him. He's an Alabama kid. You know, you feel like, hey, he should come to Alabama because he's a native of this state. And, you know, hopefully he does. But listen, I don't really have any doubts about Nate Oates, his recruiting. I mean, it's top notch, and he's gonna get some of these guys, and it's gonna be interesting to see if he gets any of these three that came in this weekend.
Yeah, it will be, and Alabama basketball fans, they have a lot to be excited about for the upcoming season and beyond. As long as Nate Oates is the head coach at Alabama, Ronnie, I think you and I are in agreement. They're going to be competing for SEC and national championships. Great stuff, as always. And let everybody know where they can find you.
Right. It's TiderInsider.com. It's only $48 a year, and you can get instant access with your credit card if you prefer. There is an address there to send a check. Give you all our premium information, but also, Gary, our all sports forum. That's our community there of Alabama fans on TiderInsider.com.
All right, Rod, great stuff. Take a break. Come back and wrap up hour number one. We'll do that right after this.
Coming up on The Game with Ryan Fowler.
Coming up on the Monday edition of The Game, we're going to recap Alabama and Wisconsin. We'll do that with Drew DeArmond. We'll also talk with Martin Houston. We'll do the good, the bad, and the ugly. The good is sponsored by DanielMoreArt.com. And we'll take your phone calls starting at 2 p.m. on The Game with Ryan Fowler on Tide 100.9, 1230 WTBC. Your home of Alabama Crimson Tide Sports.
The longest running sports program in Tuscaloosa. The Game with Ryan Fowler. Weekdays from 2 to 6 p.m. on Tide 100.9 and streaming on the Tide 100.9 app.
If you haven't already, you've got to try Tuscaloosa's unique breakfast, brunch, and lunch concept. Brick and Spoon, downtown Tuscaloosa, Timberson Square. It's fresh food with a Cajun flair featuring a full bar with build-your-own Bloody Marys and mimosas. Open daily, 7 a.m. until 2 p.m. Available for...
with Intel Inside. Upgrade today by visiting Dell.com/deals. That's Dell.com/deals.
Life doesn't wait for when your finances are in perfect order. It just happens. But no matter what surprises come your way, Alabama Credit Union will be here to help make it affordable with great personal loans, mortgages, and auto loans. They offer an easy application process and fast decisions so you can stay focused on feeling good about whatever life brings your way. Alabama Credit Union will be here to help make it affordable with great personal loans, mortgages.
True South Generators, 205-609-2642.
Tide 100.9, Tuscaloosa weather.
The long dry spell continues today, mostly sunny with a high at 91. Clear tonight, the low 67. Tomorrow and Wednesday, sunny both days, highs between 90 and 93. Thursday, the sky partially sunny, the high 93. I'm James Spann with the Alabama Weather Network on Tide 100.9. It's 73 degrees in Tuscaloosa.
You're listening to The Gary Harris Show. Streaming on the Tide 100.9 app.
All right, 9:59, we're going to wrap it up for hour number one. It's been brought to you by Alabama Credit Union. Hour number two is on the way. We'll get to some more phone calls. Also, we'll hear from Kalen DeBoer, and we'll talk golf with Casey Smith. Got a great segment coming up with him at 10:30, plus, as I said, more of your phone calls as well. Hour number two of the Gary Harris Show coming up on Tide 100.9 FM at 12:30 a.m. WTBC.
WTBC Tuscaloosa and W265CG Tuscaloosa, a Town Square media station. Tide 100.9 and streaming on the Tide 100.9 app.
From the Fox Sports studios in Los Angeles, here's Chris Perfett.
Tough news for the Cincinnati Bengals as quarterback Joe Burrow is set to miss at least 3 months. He left Sunday's game against the Jaguars and was later diagnosed with turf toe. Monday morning, Adam Schefter reported that Joe Burrow will need surgery and that will sideline him for at least 3 months. The Bengals have been contacting free agent quarterbacks in the wake of this injury, hoping to find a replacement on the roster. The only other option right now is Jake Browning. New York Jets quarterback Justin Fields has been diagnosed with a concussion after the Week 2 game against the Buffalo Bills, and as of Monday morning has entered the concussion protocol. If Fields is not cleared to practice by Wednesday, Tyrod Taylor will receive the first team reps.
Tyrod.com/country for your free gutter inspection today.
See representative for warranty details. Promotion is 20% off plus a 10% senior or military discount. One discount per household.
95.3 The Bear and Sports Radio Tide 100.9 and 1230 AM WTBC are partnering with Baumhauer's Victory Grill this season to put you in the best seats in the house at Bryant-Denny Stadium. Sign up online at 95.3thebear.com, on the app, or the Tide 100.9 app. Each week, we'll pick a winner for a pair of tickets to an Alabama home football game. Baumhauer's Victory Grill, with two locations in Tuscaloosa, Harper Lee Drive and Baumhauer South on Courtney Drive. Let Baumhauer's Victory Grill put you in the best seats in the house. With 95.3 The Bear and Sports Radio Tide 100.9 and 1230 AM WTBC. The Gary Harris Show. You see him host Tider Insider TV, Crimson Tide Kickoff, play-by-play for Alabama sports, and sports director for WVUA 23. It's time for The Gary Harris Show on your home for Alabama sports. Tide 100.9 and streaming on the Tide 100.9 app.
All right, here we go. Hour number two of the Gary Harris Show for this Monday, September 15th, 2025. Gary Harris, Chase Brumfield. Going to get to phone calls in just a moment. This hour of the program being brought to you by Patterson Law Firm, because an Alabama community means everything. And at the Patterson Law Firm, we're here when you need us most. Injured? Give us a call. You won't get a call center. You'll talk to real attorneys right here at home. 205-345-1000. That's 205-345-1000. Or find out more at PattersonLawPC.com. Patterson Law Firm, local, trusted, and here for when you need us.
Quality of legal services to be performed is greater than the quality of services performed by other lawyers.
All right, let's get to phone calls. We're going to take them in the order in which they came in. That's going to be Ragged Glory, Philip, and Robbie Glenn. Ragged Glory, you're leading us off here in hour number two. Good morning.
Good morning, Alabama. Hey, I would like to address... How you doing, Gary?
I'm doing okay. I feel a lot better this morning. It was pretty rough over the weekend, but I feel a lot better.
You're sounding better than when you first came on. So yep. You're already getting stronger every day,
yep. Just
like Chicago would sing. Hey, I want to get to Rodney Orr's comments and the worries about the running back room. I'm going to tell you right now, Alabama, that there is nothing to worry about. The things that we're going to start doing, I am seeing this whole team gel. There's strengths and weaknesses, but we also got depth to be able to cover that. And I have no trouble with the running back room, because what I saw, actually got to see one, they 3-4 yards a carry on an average. I got no problem with that based on what I've seen and the way that the whole offensive scheme was put together, spreading it all around. Hey, you know what? No worries, Rodney. It's going to be all right. And Georgia, if I could design one play again. there's a great big old... Do you remember Refrigerator Perry?
Oh, very well. Out of Clemson, Chicago Bears, defensive tackle, scored a touchdown in the Super Bowl. Absolutely.
Wouldn't it be nice to see him get his hands on a football?
You never know, do you?
Watch out, SEC. Alabama's alive and well. One game at a time.
All right, Ragged Glory. Good stuff, man.
Have a great day, Gary.
Thank you very much. Appreciate you. All right, next up is going to be Philip. Hey, Philip, good morning.
Hey, Gary, the rushing thing's just sort of a matter of opinion, I guess. Alabama, I felt like they could have thrown it all day and every down against Wisconsin the other day once the game kind of got, unfurled a little bit. Ran it 22 times, 72 yards, 3.27 average. Georgia ran it 55 times the other day for 198 yards. That's 3.6 yards a carry. Tennessee ran it 34 times for 125 yards. That's 3.6 carry. So, everybody kind of did the same. Alabama just didn't run it that much. Didn't really have to the way the game unfolded. It was just sort of a toss it up in the air. And Ty was hot. He was having a great game throwing, and it was there for the taking. So that's the way I look at it.
Yeah, that's fair. You know, you take what's there and what's available. When you have a hot quarterback, you certainly want to ride him. I will say this, Phillip. I don't think it's the yards per carry. That's the sense that I'm getting. That's the concerning part for Alabama people. You know how Alabama people are. They want to be physical. They want to feel like there's a commitment to the running game. You mentioned those other two teams. The yards per carry wasn't that much higher, but the amount of attempts were a lot higher. And I get it a little bit. I think that, you want to be able to run the football, and you want to feel like that you can dictate to the other team your terms and be physical with them. So, but I'm with you. I thought they ran it enough that it wasn't a great day, but they're going to get Jam Miller back. And I think we'll see an emphasis on running the football when we get into SEC play, beginning with that Georgia game. And because you're not going to, I'll just tell you this. I mean, I could be wrong. I don't think Ty Simpson is going to post the kind of numbers against Georgia that he posted against Monroe and Wisconsin. I just don't. So yep. You're going to need to take some pressure off your quarterback.
They do, and I think you're right. I mean, you're no doubt you're right on that. But the flow of the games change every game.
Sure does.
You never know what's going to be there.
That's true.
You know. But anyway, we'll see what happens, and it's going to be some great ones this weekend. I feel like whoever wins that Oklahoma-Auburn game, they are really looking good for the playoffs. But like I told Wimp and Barry earlier this morning, I'm not sure if Missouri's not the best team in the SEC, and scoff if you must, but I think they're good.
Well, they're good. They're playing well. They're playing great. But I tell you this, it's like I said earlier too, Phillip, it's a week-to-week league, man. You might look great 1 week, but you can't rest on your laurels. You got to come back when you're in this conference and be ready to go. If you have a bad game 1 week, you got a chance to come back the next week and rectify things. I mean, I really think it's going to be hard to gauge these teams because I think there's so much competitive balance that 1 week a team might look great and you're ready to get on their bandwagon, and the next week they get beat. Our team may not look good, and the next week they may come back and play well. So it's going to be an incredible season in terms of this conference and how it plays out. Hey, thank you, Phillip.
Appreciate you, man.
Appreciate you. All right, Robbie Glenn is up next, and then we'll get to Bryce. Hey, good morning, Robbie.
Good morning, Gary. Hope you had a good weekend. Me and you didn't think they would cover the points, but they did, and so I'm going to keep picking them not to cover the points and get that win. I'm happy with that. But like everybody about the running game, I thought we ran the ball hard. I thought Riley was showing his speed, versatility, but, I'm holding this. This is Wisconsin. That was their strength, was their defensive line. It's hard to run against those boys. They were seniors, and to come out in that second half and do that play to open it up, the reverse flea flicker screen was like, that's a dream right there for whoever caught that. I don't care if it was Ryan, Germ, anyone with speed. When you're running behind 1,200 pounds in front of you, that was just impressive. And then the other thing is that freshman nose guard for us, Simmons, he was going against a senior for them. I thought he played great for a true freshman. And then when they swapped out for him getting hurt, the center got hurt and brought in the backup, to show his power and speed against a guy that definitely was not ready. First play, just blew him on his back and got the sack. That guy's going to be a special talent right there. That nose tackle is good. He just needs more reps. So that was good to see. And then, of course, Ryan Williams doing what he does. Had a lot of one-on-one coverage and Ty just picking people apart. It was good, all the way down to the kicking game. Was a great Saturday win, and exactly like we thought it would. The heat, I think, got to Wisconsin and our speed. So we just took over the game. But like you said, this league is going to be tough. What do we got, 12 ranked in the top 25?
Yep.
Something like that? So, yeah, every week's going to be something. Good off week this week. Get some guys back, let them rest a little bit, and then it's Georgia. So great, great weekend. Great for the team. It was got great excitement on the sideline. A crowd I know was into it, but I heard it was so hot. I heard people were leaving because they just couldn't take the heat.
Yeah, I was in the press box and then went down about halfway through the fourth quarter and was on that field, and I was thinking the same thing. I was thinking, man, if you had to sit out in this for four quarters, it's impacted me, like I said, with allergies. It's when it's this dry and this hot, and people have said, well, it's hotter in June, July, and August. It may be temperature-wise, But the humidity we think of, and we think of all the sweat that you, but the humidity keeps the air at least moist. This kind of heat, this dry heat, the ragweed, all of the, it's hard, man. And it's been rough, but anyway, but Alabama got through it and got the win. Hey, thank you, Robbie.
Yes, they did. Thank you, Gary. Roll Time.
Appreciate it. Let's keep it rolling with Bryce, and then we'll get to Tom. Hey, good morning, Bryce.
Well, Gary.
Yes, sir.
Based on what you've seen in this team so far, can you think we can go into Georgia and win?
Yeah, I think they can. I picked Georgia in the preseason, and I haven't decided, when I pick it next week, where I'm going to go. But I definitely think they can. I don't think there's, I don't think there's a talent deficit. I think Alabama's is as talented, maybe even more talented than Georgia. So certainly I think they can. I think it's going to be very difficult. I think in this particular instance, with the bye week for both teams, with Georgia being at home, with it being at night, with Alabama's dominance over Georgia, and as I've said before, Kirby having to hear about that, and not just hear about it, but deal with the reality that Alabama's cost him a couple more national championships. I think you're going to get a Georgia team that is going to be as ready to play as possible. So you got to match that. You got to be prepared, and you got to match the intensity early in the game, because I think they're going to come out guns blazing, much like Alabama did to them last year. And you don't want to get jumped on early and get down, 14, 17 points in the first half. So, but I do think Alabama can win there, yes.
Well, based on what I've seen, I know you could only beat who you played, but I don't think we played a good football team anywhere near the caliber of Georgia. I mean, you play a Wisconsin team not even that good to start with, but they're depleted. And they got like their second string quarterback, and a lot of their linemen and their centers and stuff are out, But unless they show me something different, I don't think they can match the intensity and physicality that Georgia's going to bring. I think Georgia's going to line up and run it down their throat until we stop it. I mean, that's my opinion. I hope I'm wrong based on what I've seen so far.
Well, yeah, I mean, that's why they're going to play the game. And it's going to be a big one. As I said with Rodney Orr, the outcome of this game is going to have a lot to say about this season. I mean, if you win this game and you're 3-1 and you're 1-0 in the SEC with 8 to go, you're in great shape. But if you lose this game, you're 2-2 and you're 0-1 in the conference with 8 games to go. You're running uphill, man. You're going to if Alabama loses this game, their margin for error the rest of the season is very minimal. You're going to have to play great football, and it's going to be hard to get into the playoff if they lose this game, in my opinion. But they could, but it would be very difficult.
You're making stupid penalties and they're stopping drives. I mean, gotta cut out on the penalties.
Well, they're going to work on a lot of things. Like I said, they got 2 weeks to get ready, and I'm confident they're going to be prepared and ready to go. I think it's going to be a great football game. Hey, I'm going to get to one more call, Bryce. Thanks for calling, man.
I appreciate you.
Yes, sir. Bye. Thank you. Okay, let's finish up this segment with Tom. Hey, Tom.
Hey, Gary. How are you this morning?
Doing well, thanks.
I want to say this. You're dead right about this dry weather and ragweed. They go hand in hand together. And you get a little tiny breeze that blows across that ragweed, you're dead. Yeah. It'll kill you. There's nothing more deadly. I don't see why we don't ship this ragweed over to Iran. We'll kill everybody over
there. That's a good point.
Talking about a damn weapons of mass destruction, there it is. And you're exactly right. The drier and hotter it gets, the more deadly it gets. But I wanted to ask you this about the football. You got these coaches that's in the SEC now, and they are absolutely dynamite. And I'm including the coaching staff at Alabama, Georgia, Vandy, all across the board. They are fantastic coaches. But do you see a pattern? Saturday, it dawned on me that about something Coach Saban said, you go out, you start the game, and you try to see how they're going to play. And then you enact the part of your game plan that you want to use to attack what they're doing to you. But the first thing you want to know is, how are they going to play me? Is Georgia going to light up, try to run it down our throat? Are they going to take the quarterback and run him a lot? Do they have enough confidence in him? And I do, to throw the ball around a lot. Or what? You see what I'm saying? And I think that's what Alabama will try to do. They'll try to figure out how they're going to play him. The thing is, you got to hang in there until you figure it out, and just hope you figure it out in time to put a whooping on.
Yeah, I mean, that's like I said, you gotta hold court early in the game, because Georgia's gonna come out at home jacked up, biting at the bit, and they're gonna have a ton of energy, and you gotta be able to kind of hang in there early and get the game into the second quarter, settle in, and then I think Alabama's got a team that's good enough to win the game. I'm not saying I'm gonna pick Alabama, certainly.
What I wanna say, okay. But I won't say this. I really think Alabama's got to ask themselves, are we man enough to go over there and play Georgia the way we have got to play? Are we going to find the intestinal fortitude to go in there and be a man and stand up and represent the University of Alabama and play with discipline and intensity?
Well, you pulled that line out of Pat Dye from 2002. You heard that line before.
I don't copy anybody. I'm original.
All right, Tom. Thank you, my friend.
It's a good one, though.
It's a good one. Yep. All right. It's 10:20. We're going to take a time out, and we're going to try to come back with some Kalen DeBoer audio if we have time to get a few minutes in of that. If not, we'll try to get to it after Casey Smith. We'll see how it goes. If we get phone calls, we'll take those. Been busy this morning with calls on the Storage Center hotline, 205-342-9904. Want to mention to you, the YMCA of Tuscaloosa is ready for you when you're ready for the Y. 2300 13th Street downtown. They got everything that you need to help you reach your fitness goals. Great facility, great staff, great personal training. Whatever you need is there. All that's missing is you. Change that. Get by and see them at the YMCA. Find out more at YMCATuscaloosa.org. We'll be right back.
West Alabama real-time news update from the Tuscaloosa Thread newsroom.
Here are the headlines from TuscaloosaThread.com. Brought to you by Tuscaloosa Mazda. Drought conditions are worsening across West Alabama, with Marengo County listed in severe drought by the National Climate Center. More immigrants are being arrested during traffic stops in Alabama. Aaliyah acknowledges that ICE agents are present at driver's license checkpoints. In sports, former Bama quarterback Mac Jones had one of his best games ever in the NFL as his 49ers beat the Saints 26-21.
Once I finally got into a rhythm, and I felt like the line did a great job blocking for me, and when they do that, I know I can sit in there and let it fly.
His postgame comments from NBC Sports, Jones filled in for injured San Francisco quarterback Brock Purdy. At Tuscaloosa Mazda, we're expanding to serve you better. Come see our new and pre-owned Mazda lineup, offering fuel efficiency, advanced technology, and plush comfort. Tuscaloosa Mazda, 3100 Skyline Boulevard East, or online at TuscaloosaMazda.com. Don Hartley, Town Square Media, Tuscaloosa.
If you haven't checked out Who's Q and Brew already, it's time you did so. Tuscaloosa's best barbecue, with lunch specials daily and night specials Monday through Thursday. We have a full bar featuring a new cocktail and wine menu, 16 draft beers, and $5 bushwhackers, and we have 17 TVs so you can watch all the big games. New food items include baby back ribs, house
mensclinic.com, and change your life. That's right, guys. Change your life by going to primetimemensclinic.com.
Tide 100.9, Tuscaloosa weather.
The long dry spell continues today, mostly sunny with a high of 91. Clear tonight, the low 67. Tomorrow and Wednesday, sunny both days, highs between 90 and 93. Thursday, the sky partially sunny, the high 93. I'm James Spann with the Alabama Weather Network on Tide 100.9. It's 82 degrees in Tuscaloosa.
Need to know what's going on with the Crimson Tide? Then subscribe to our YouTube channel for exclusive content on your home for Alabama sports. Tide 100.9 and streaming on the Tide 100.9 app.
All right, 10:25. Welcome back into the Gary Harris Show. Let's get the phone calls rolling. They've been very busy this morning. This is Dale. Hey, good morning, Dale.
Hey, Gary. How you doing, buddy?
Doing well.
Good. Hope you're feeling better.
I am. Yeah, it's. I feel like I'm on the downhill now.
Yeah. Well, just watching the game the other day, I thought that our defensive line, the young freshman, I thought they played outstanding. I don't know if that had a lot to do with, you know, the Wisconsin center being injured like he was or what. But man, I mean, them freshmen was just all in the backfield. Simmons and Faga, I thought they did an outstanding job. What's your thoughts on that?
Yeah, agree. Particularly, I thought Lennon Simmons, man, his ability to push the pocket from the inside. I've said before, edge rushers are very important, obviously, but if you come off the edge, quarterback can step up. But if you come through with middle of the defensive line pressure, pocket pressure, it's hard for the quarterback to do much, particularly if you get edge rush and then you get pocket pressure. And Lennon Simmons and Fago both were able to impact the quarterback, which is very important. You want to, you know, you want those guys to be able to stand up against the run, but if they can get quarterback pressure as well, it's really tough for a quarterback when that pressure comes right up the middle. So, yeah, I'm with you. I thought they both played really well in the game.
Well, have you heard anything about Keenan's injury? Is he doing anything?
My expectation is, to be honest with you, and again, this is just my opinion, because I haven't been told this. My expectation is that I think he's going to be ready to play against Georgia. I think that Tim Keenan's going to be back for that game, and I think that Jam Miller will be back for that game. But that is just my opinion. But I think he's going to be back in the lineup.
Well, good. And I don't know if you watched the Tennessee-Georgia game. I'm sure you did. But there's something that just stood out to me that I hadn't seen a Georgia team. Either Tennessee's offensive line was really good or Georgia's defensive line is just not what we have seen since Kirby's been there, to be honest with you. And I don't know if even Mark Richt's defensive line looked like that. I mean, am I missing something, or is that just
Tennessee certainly had success offensively against Georgia. Maybe they're not as strong. I do think they're not as strong as they've been in the past. It's kind of like that run that Alabama had. It's hard to maintain that for too many seasons because, I mean, they've been so dominant up front. I do think this. I think they're going to be ready to go. Whatever, and say what you want about Saturday, Georgia won the game. And that's kind of where they're at now is they win games even when they get outplayed in the game. So, but no, I'm with you. I don't think they're as strong up front on defense as they've been in the past. And I think Kirby is such a good coach and Alabama is going to have to go over there and earn it. I just think that Georgia's going to play. I think Georgia's going to play really, really well.
Well, all right, Gary. I appreciate you, man. I'm here at work, and I just wanted to call and get a few comments in and see how Tim Keenan is doing.
Well, I think, like I said, Dale, again, I don't want to speak for anybody over there because I haven't been told this, but my feeling is I think he's going to be ready to go in that game. And, boy, I'm with you. If you can get him back to go along with Simmons and Fagu, you're going to have a chance to have a really good defensive line. So thank you very much. All right, it is 10:29, perfect timing, good call there, Dale. And before we get to the break, do want to remind you, lunch is right around the corner, and check out my friends at Billy's Sports Grill. Man, it was jumping over the weekend, but beautiful day again. Sit outside on that patio and enjoy some lunch at Billy's Sports Grill in downtown historic Northport right there on Main Avenue. We're going to come out with Casey Smith on golf next.
Once again, that's ZipRecruiter.com/radio. ZipRecruiter.com/radio. Never miss out on great candidates with ZipRecruiter.
Covering University of Alabama sports, as well as the national and local scene as well. The Gary Harris Show, only on Tide 100.9 and streaming on the Tide 100.9 app.
All right, 10:33. Welcome back into the Gary Harris Show. It's time for Casey Smith on golf, and boy, we got a lot to cover. I know football is dominating the headlines, but a lot happening in the world of golf. Good morning, Casey.
Hey, good morning, Gary. Hope you're well.
Well, I've been better, but I'm battling through it. Been dealing with these allergies, man. This weather has gotten me down pretty good, but that's okay. I'm on the downhill now. I feel like Scottie Scheffler is always on the downhill. I mean, he's just. Right now, he's so far ahead, I think, of everybody else. I mean, I do feel like he's getting into Tiger territory. I mean, every time he's in the field, you expect him to win. And this was a tournament at the Pro Core Championship out in California where he was just solid the whole tournament. But I hate to say he was flying under the radar a little bit. But, I mean, through three rounds, I mean, you knew he was there. You knew he was lurking. But I never really felt like he was the guy. And then yesterday, just kind of flipping back and forth. The next thing you know, he posts a score. Ben Griffin's behind him on the par 5 and 2. And Ben Griffin needs a birdie to force a playoff, an eagle to win, and he three putts. And Scottie Scheffler never even has to come back out and hit a ball. It's just, I don't know if that was intimidation factor, Ben Griffin, the nerves, whatever. Ben Griffin played a brilliant golf tournament. But Scottie Scheffler gets another win. I think that's 6 for him this year, right?
Oh, that's 6 wins and 12, not even, it's 6 wins and 12 starts, and which is crazy. Congrats to Scottie Scheffler. I mean, he really is. You summed it up to start. He, in his last 12 starts, going from this one backwards, win, T4, win, T3, win, T8, T6, T7, win, T4, win. He is six wins, 6 top 10s, 3 of them top 5s. He is the standard. We need him to go win, keep playing like this, and go win 5 points at the Ryder Cup. He is the best player in golf. I don't think there's any question. You can really argue that. And, yeah, I mean, Ben Griffin has had an incredible year. The guy was working a day job a few years ago and decided to give it another shot. And he sort of did the opposite of Scott. He started off, shot 64, shot 62. Ben Griffin hadn't made a bogey through first two rounds. And then, you know, early first three rounds, the last round, that was sort of what I was going to point to. On 18, which is a par 5, and usually those guys out there eat those up. On 18 in round 3, Ben Griffin made his first bogey of the tournament. And then you come back to round 4, and that's the hole that you've got to make hay on. And it is a par 5. And, I mean, those guys on par 5s, really, most of the time, par should be like 4, 4.5, not even 5. And it goes out there and just, I mean, sort of chokes. Doesn't hit a good putt. And I don't know if Scottie Scheffler being there is what caused that. But also congrats to who else finished in 4th. Auburn's number 1 player, Jackson Coivin, who had an incredible Ryder Cup or Walker Cup, goes and plays in that event and finishes 4th as an amateur. And I'm not so sure that he shouldn't turn pro. His game looks legit, and he's already in the rest of these, could be in the rest of the events the rest of this fall, which I think he probably could earn his card as good as he's playing. You don't get retro, and he's only a junior at Auburn. So that guy did really well, and then some of our other guys just didn't have the golf that they really needed to have. You know, Trey Mullinax had a pretty good event for him, but JT, you know, I mean, he had a very lackluster event, which is not what was really needed going into this offseason or going into the Ryder Cup.
Yeah, because this was kind of a Ryder Cup get together. All the guys were there and playing, and we know that you know, we're a little more than a week away from the Ryder Cup. And I do want to ask about Justin Thomas, because hey, he made the cut. You have to give him credit for that. I mean, you know, that's the first goal. But was really uneven the whole week. And then yesterday, a 75. And I tell you what's biting him now again. I mean, first of all, he's just not playing the kind of golf he needs to play. But he's missing those 4 and 5 footers again. And he's making doubles. And he's three putting. And he's, I mean, I don't have a lot of confidence in him going into the Ryder Cup. And if I'm Keegan Bradley, to be quite honest with you, when I look at my team, I know he's got a good history in the Ryder Cup, but he's a guy that I'm going to try to limit his amount of rounds the best I can. I mean, he's just not playing well. And I thought for sure in this tournament, having had a little time off, knowing what this means heading into the Ryder Cup, that he would be sharper than this. But he's mistake prone, man. And I know you're going to say you make a lot of birdies is what it's all about in the Ryder Cup. But the consistency in his performance right now is just, there's a lot of guys playing better than him that are on this Ryder Cup team, is my point.
Oh, I don't disagree with you, Gary. Yeah, I mean, that's the normal theme in a Ryder Cup or any match play event where birdies do overcome. It's just a lost soul. But with that said, and to your point, the guy made 14 bogeys and 3 double bogeys this week. And that to shoot one over par for the tournament, you know, think about what you just had to do to overcome that. Those numbers point to, I mean, that's something that I feel like I could go out there and do, right? Is break that number. So, yeah, he's making it, that's what's probably confusing for him. You have so much good in there, and then that's what you're getting out of it. I mean, that's legitimately the scorecards that I put up. Shoot one over for 4 rounds and make that many birdies and that many mistakes, and I'm working a job. There's something in there really, really good that they've got to find and eliminate. I mean, 3 double bogeys shouldn't really happen ever, but then the 14 bogeys to go along with, you know, the 20 birdies. It probably makes the coaches or the captains really a little bit on what to do, because the birdies are there. And so they see if they could get him paired. I mean, that's the problem about getting sucked into that is you could pair him with this guy or this guy because he's got a lot of firepower. But I'm with you. I think there's more consistent players right now. And hopefully, you know, they still got a week this week before it all goes down next week. I noticed the European team's already relocated to New York. They got all their jet lag out, and I know the U.S. team is having meetings out there. They're going to have something else this week up at Bethpage, and then they come back next week for it all. So there's a lot of golf to be played. Good news is he'll be in some of these matches with the best 12 players right now in America, duking it out. Some of that practice sessions that'll go on, it's not going to be out there experimental team stuff. They'll be playing like it's back in college. Who's the best player? Who's got the hot hand? That's what they're trying to see. You know, golf is just such a day-to-day thing, except for when you're Scotty Scheffler. And then you just have this beacon of consistency.
What is your vibe telling you on the Ryder Cup? What's your gut telling you? I mean, it's you want to pick the USA because it's at Bethpage. They're going to have the crowd. They're going to have so much incentive, motivation. But this is just me. When I look through the entire lineups, I still feel like the Europeans have a – Scotty Scheffler included. I still think the Europeans have a better roster of golfers top to bottom than the United States.
Yeah, I mean, the European team is got the same team back that they had in Rome, minus one Højgaard twin to the other. Nikolaj played, and now it's Rasmus. I mean, so the last name, the even name rosters are the same. We've been the favorites for the last 10 Ryder Cups, and we've won 3. So, you know, tread lightly. And when I look across and see what you're seeing, I see the same thing. You have a veteran team with a ton of moxie who are the defending champs in this event. You know, they've got the cup, and you got to go take it from them. And so we're going to have guys like Justin Thomas play really good golf and Scotty Scheffler play really good golf. And, you know, it is about how they're going to mix this up. That's the advantage. What you're seeing is Europe already knows how they want to pair these guys. There's no guessing game here. They've got a model that works. You're not sending different people out. You can go look at what the pairings look like in Rome, and that's what those pairings are going to look like here. And, you know, Matt Fitzpatrick was the last pick, and he had gone like 0-7 previously in singles. He goes out and birdies like the first 5 holes in Rome. And, you know, he shows up. And so they've only got one weak link to me on their team, and it's really him. He's not played good of late. We've got a lot more guys that have a higher ceiling, but also a lower floor. There's not near the consistency. And so if our guys are on, we should be the favorite. We've got a probably more talented team golf-wise and scoring-wise, but, like, they've got a team that's won together. They already know the parents. So, you know, Gary, I side with you a little bit there. We've got our work cut out for us.
It's going to be fun, that's for sure. It is going to be so exciting, and I think it's going to set ratings records on TV. I think it's going to set attendance records. I don't think, and you know, I've talked about this, Casey. I think we, and it may set some records for people being ejected from the course. I mean, I think we're going to see stuff in this Ryder Cup that we've never seen before from just the entire event standpoint.
Yeah, I mean, fans are going to be nuts. I talked to someone yesterday that was going, how they were involved in it. They're saying the same thing. I think the good news is what I heard yesterday from someone involved, this security is they're going to have more security than they've ever had, which is going to be really good. So it may lean to more people getting booted. So I think it's going to be, yeah, ratings, nuts. It's built for television. If you've ever been, there's only four matches at a time going out. If any of those matches end early, everyone congregates around those matches. So golf viewing is not at an all-time high. It's more spectator-ish sport. And then the way they show it on television and produce it is great. So it's something I'm very excited about. And it's, you know, Alabama-Georgia weekend. So big sports weekend.
All right, we talked about the three-putt at the end in the PGA event, and then I did not even realize it. I had not even checked the LPGA, but you sent me a text with Charlie Hull getting a win. Good for her. But Gino Thickel four-putted on the final hole to lose. I mean, incredible turn of events there on the final hole at the Kroger Queen City Championship.
Charlie Hull thought she was going to finish second place.
Yeah.
No question. I've watched it 10 times now. She's basically packing her stuff up that, hey, I'm going to draw a great check. I had a great week. I finished second place. And that girl is the number one. I think Gino is the number one player right now. She just surpassed Nelly to number one player, but also number one putter. Statistically, number one putter on LPGA Tour. She's just got a three putt and she wins. She four putted, or gets in the playoffs. She four putted and didn't even get into a playoff. Wild. I mean, golf is hard. It's like I said, the episode 6,789 of golf is very hard. That was one of the wildest things that I've seen. She hit, just rams the putt by. It was like she hit it on a heartbeat. And then she looks up, and I don't even think she realized, like, I just lost. Pretty wild turn of events there. And, yeah, congrats to Charlie Hull. She got another win.
Yeah, she did. And she's a big personality out there on tour, too, to say the least. Alabama men's golf. Boy, what a great start to the fall season. Just like last year, that Folds of Honor tournament up in Michigan, Alabama wins the individual and team titles. Very impressive.
Yeah, I mean, congrats to UA Golf. Big. They won. They shot 5 under, 1 by 6, only team under par. Williams Jennings goes and wins the individual with Dominic Clemens playing in the Walker Cup. William Jennings earns a start in the Rocket City Classic next year in July. He's only a sophomore. I'd heard from a friend of mine who plays golf at his club in Greenville. I'd heard some really good things about him this summer, that they thought this guy was going to have a breakout year. And then Jonathan Grizz on the team also won this, you know, prestigious Dan Rooney Awards, the award they give out, the Folds of Honor. So clean sweep for all of the awards for UA men's golf. And hey, that really first full year of that facility being open from last year, getting to take advantage of it, partially open to now open, and look at what's happening. So hopefully that the same goes for the women's team, who kicks off this week. And you know, that momentum with one of your best players already being out and you win, got to give UA men's golf a very good shot in the arm going forward as they go play in Olympia Fields, and the Fighting Illini Invitational will be a stacked field starts this Friday. So it'll be something for us to see. It'll wrap up Sunday. By the time we get to Monday, we'll know really if this team wins again. You're going to see, you know, they're validating another win, and it should show trajectory of where this team could go.
All right, Casey, great stuff. Can't wait for the Ryder Cup. And, of course, well, you live in Atlanta. I'm sure that even though it's a bye week this week, people are going to be getting pumped up over there for Alabama and Georgia a week from Saturday night,
too. Oh, man, it's wild over here already. People, that win, with them winning that game, they've got it circled. It's game on. I'm going. Can't wait.
Thank you. All right, 10:48 here on the Gary Harris Show, and we're going to come back. If we've got some time, we're finally going to try to play a little bit of Kalen DeBoer from Saturday postgame. We've been busy this morning, but if we get phone calls, certainly we'll take phone calls, too, at 205-342-9904. But we're going to have about 5 minutes when we come back, so we may be able to get some Kalen DeBoer audio in. We'll be back after this.
With Ryan Fowler.
Coming up on the Monday edition of the game, we're going to recap Alabama and Wisconsin. We'll do that with Drew DeArmond. We'll also talk with Martin Houston. We'll do the good, the bad, and the ugly. The good is sponsored by DanielMoreArt.com. And we'll take your phone calls starting at 2 p.m. on the game with Ryan Fowler on Tide 100.9, 1230 WTBC. Your home of Alabama Crimson Tide Sports.
The longest running sports program.
It's Monday from 7 to 8 Central on Tide100.9.com and TiderInsider.com and all your social media platforms for Inside the Trenches.
If you haven't checked out Who's Q and Brew already, it's time you did so. Tuscaloosa's best barbecue with lunch specials daily and night specials Monday through Thursday. We have a full bar featuring a new cocktail and wine menu, 16 draft beers, and $5 bushwhackers, and we have 17 TVs so you can watch all the big games. New food items include baby back ribs, house-made cake.
More info on marketing with Town Square Media Tuscaloosa, call 205-345-7200 or click on Advertise With Us on our website.
Tide 100.9, Tuscaloosa weather.
The long dry spell continues today, mostly sunny with a high at 91. Clear tonight, the low 67. Tomorrow and Wednesday, sunny both days, highs between 90 and 93. Thursday, the sky partially sunny, the high 93. I'm James Spann with the Alabama Weather Network on Tide 100.9. It's 83 degrees in Tuscaloosa.
For more from Tide 100.9,
let's it fly! And there's it!
Follow us on Twitter, Facebook, and SoundCloud.
All right, 10:53. Welcome back into the Gary Harris Show. We got about 4 or 5 minutes here. We're going to try to play a few comments, including the opening statement from head coach Kalen DeBoer following Saturday's 38-14 victory over the Wisconsin Badgers. Here's Coach DeBoer on Saturday.
Yeah, you bet. Thought we came ready to play, and liked especially what our response was when we got stopped on fourth down. The defense come out and, you know, really not hanging their heads, and just the very next play getting the takeaway. And so a lot of different directions that thing could have gone after getting stopped there. Offense takes over, takes advantage of it, and moves the ball down the field. So that was really good to see the response to some adversity there. You know, love to see us do a much better job at the fourth quarter, just finishing. Got some drops there that, you know, our guys don't make, and so we gotta play better there. And then a couple penalties at the beginning of the third quarter, just, you know, it's nonsense. I mean, we, you know, we gave them a touchdown, really, because the ball would have been kicked out of the end zone. And so, just, you know, I love the energy on the sideline, and I love the excitement, but we gotta run on off the field, right? So, we just got to take care of those things, because those are things that can kill you in a tight game. So one thing I do want to do, I want to shout out our fans, because it's 11 o'clock kick in the morning. And, you know, just getting here earlier and all of that. I know people travel to get here, but appreciate the energy that they brought. And then also our student section, just noticing that our student section was full from start to finish. Our guys feed off of that energy. They really do. And we got to make sure we continue to do our part to make them give them something to cheer about. So do appreciate them there. So zero turnovers again, doing a good job, high priority of ball security, taking care of the football, and a couple more takeaways. So just again, guys, you know, got more pressure on the quarterback with the sacks. And so just, you know, I thought it was a good team game. Obviously, there's some things we got to clean up with the penalties in particular.
Thanks, Coach. Let's start with Nick on the left.
Yeah, Ryan Williams, first over here. First 100-yard receiving game for him since Georgia last year. What was the message to him to get him back on track coming back into the lineup?
Yeah, I think he's just hungry to get back out there and do what he does, you know. And so he missed last week and, you know, wanted to be better than what he was in week one. And so he's, you know, went back to work. And, you know, it was good to see him and Ty connect. Not some easy throws that I think get a guy going, both Ryan and Ty. But then also some of those deep sideline throws, you know, those aren't the easiest. And so they worked extremely hard on them. We were very intentional on making sure the timing of those routes were good all week long in practice. And they went out and executed. So it was good to see him, you know, do his thing, because he's obviously crazy explosive, especially once he has the ball in his hands.
Back right, Chase.
What'd you think of Ty Simpson's play? I think at one point he was like 13 out of 14, I think, by halftime, just his accuracy and decision-making.
Yeah, he's really, I think, in the last two games, slowed the game down, stayed within himself. I feel like just where his head's moving and where he's seeing and going through his read progressions, he's just been so disciplined on it. And, you know, I think it continues to feed on itself when he just stays the course and, you know, trust the guys around him and doesn't try to do too much. The reads will take you where the ball needs to go. And, you know, it isn't a talent question, right? I mean, he can throw the ball where it needs to go and, you know, has been super accurate. You know, unfortunately, we dropped a few balls for him at the end and, you know, we're going to need those. And but he's been playing really well the last 2 weeks. I think he's risen to the occasion. We challenged him last week a little bit and, you know, like where his head's at.
All right, good stuff there from Kalen DeBoer. We were able to get it in after all. All right, that's going to wrap it up for this edition of the Gary Harris Show. This hour has been brought to you by Patterson Law Firm. And a reminder that the Miller's Edge is coming up next, and I'll be back tomorrow morning for the Tuesday edition at 9 a.m. Catch me on TV tonight with your local sports on WVUA 23. For Chase Brumfield, I'm Gary Harris. And have a great Monday, everybody. And do keep in mind that don't wind up like me. Whatever you can do, I guess if there's any kind of preventative type stuff to do for allergies, take them. Be proactive so you don't wind up dealing with this, because the weather forecast, for as long as we can see, is the same. Hot and dry. All right, Miller's Edge coming up next. Have a great day. Talk to you again in the morning at 9 a.m.